Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steven Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to smash that subscribe button. I think just do it once, because if you do it twice, it'll unsubscribe you.
Yes.
Which is what YouTube is doing to a lot of people without their knowledge or consent, Larson. Illegal in the internet space. Right?
I don't know.
You have no idea. Anyways, we're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/ Steven Larson. Right now we've got, gee willikers, we've got 77 people watching at the $5 tier. Man, are we sure this isn't just straight up public? We have 80 people watching right now at the $5 tier. So every week we do this live stream for the $5 and up patrons. We've got what? What?
No, I was just smiling because that's a lot of people.
Are we sure? Like, there are, is everybody in here?
Did you set
five
it?
And
did
up?
You set it to $1?
Did I not? Did I just tweet out the link to the live stream? I don't know. Like, maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. I have no idea. If anybody in here is not a $5 and up patron, don't say that, because we'll have to kick you out. Anyways, on the Patreon, we've got a lot of great reward tiers. We're actually going to be updating them very soon to add more stuff to it, more live streams, all sorts of more stuff. So be sure to head over to patreon.com/ Steven Larson. It's a great way to help out the show, especially these days with that YouTube ad revenue business that's happening.
You did it correctly. $5 and up patrons.
All right. Well, hey, man, awesome to see everybody here.
Yes, thank you very much.
And speaking of the Patreon, I'm going to go ahead and blast out these names. These are the new patrons that we got over the past week. We got a bunch of them, and
yes,
I like to read off their names. This one at the $1. $1 a month, and you get your name read by this idiot right here. So we're going to start off with Sean Morris. Al, I forget what Al's watching in the live stream right now. I forgot to say Al's last name. Jagalo? Al. Call me Al. You're the one who said, yeah, that's how you say it. You don't remember?
Like, no.
How do you say this last name?
I don't remember.
Name? Al. Al's in chat right now. He'll tell us how to say it. Mark Jagels, Donald Pearson, Hardcore Christopher K, Mickey Daly, Jason Kantos, G Sith, Nefu Neptune from Space Champion of the World, Morgan, Lowercase Rocket, Jed Rudy, Shane Strickland. Timothy Shane had a video question on Monday's show.
Yes.
Timothy Matthews, the Coldwater Larson champ, AJ Benzaken. Here we go. I got it. Al's got his last name here in chat for us. Al Jagello. Jagello. Thank you, Al. Appreciate it. Welcome to the Patreon family.
Yes.
The Phenomenal Cleaner, a.k.a. the King of Demons, Jack Foley, Robert Caw, Jamie Coates, Scott Beach, Coldwater Larson Advocate, Blue Felix, Anthony Williams, The Texan, Jam, Thomas Goldthorpe, Justin Brooks, Joaquin Cardenas, Knox the Rockstar, The Boy with the Brainiest Buster, Luke Overstreet, Brandon Snow, Feldenor, Rudy Requena, Keith Crum, Zamiel Casul, Reese Clifardo Clifford, Joshua Delgado, Sergeant Major Cool, Megan Daniels, and Master Snagman. They all put in money on the Patreon.
Thank you.
I
want to
say
thank
a big
you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We also have like 9 or 10 shirts up at prowrestlingtees.com/goingandraw. Be sure to
There's
check
There's more
those
to come.
Out.
I have at least 3 designs.
You're like a shirt design factory at this
well,
point.
Well, like I said the other day, I finally am teaching myself how to be somewhat competent at Photoshop.
Yeah. Including... We've got the internet famous tag team. I actually ripped that design off from the Young Bucks, but I figured it was kind of okay because that's sort of their superficial gimmick is ripping stuff off, like the Two Swedes, the Suckets, all that kind of stuff. So I thought it'd be kind of funny if I ripped them off. So I sort of ripped off their vintage design, one of like 100 designs they have. I love the Young Bucks.
Yes.
And it's funny because one of our friendos, and I forget his name, I think his name was Greg. Maybe not Greg. I think it was Greg. Went to the Ring of Honor show.
Oh.
And he got a picture with the Young
Yes.
Bucks. And he's wearing that shirt. So I wonder if I didn't ask him if they if
oh,
they said,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That looks a lot like our design.
Yeah, I don't know.
So whoever the Going in Raw
question,
guys
though.
Are.
Good question.
But he did a botch too sweet. They did a normal too sweet, but he did a botch. He did the only, he had the Ring of Honors and the Super Kick belts. He was wearing them while doing a botch too sweet.
Wearing
while
our shirt.
Wearing the ripoff shirt. So he's like top friendo now.
Yeah.
Anyways, we should probably talk about Raw, Larson.
Raw!
I've got my show notes right here. I'm thinking of giving these out to a $10 patron, $10 and up patron.
Okay, so Raw happened last night.
Yeah.
Thoughts. Overall. General
I'll
thoughts.
I'll be honest. So I watched it kind of twice. I watched it live, kind of half paid attention.
Mm-hmm.
Watched it again. Watched the Hulu version mm-hmm. today.
Mm-hmm.
I think my main problem was this. Because I thought there were some strong matches.
There were.
I know a lot of people are very, including myself, I'm a big Finn Balor mark, huge Finn Balor mark. Not happy with that result, but then when you have to sort of take look at it sort of objectively, you got to sort of...
We'll get to that.
Finn Balor,
thoughts.
I think, is winning that Extreme Rules thing.
I don't know, but we'll talk about that match
A fantastic
later
Intercontinental
on.
Match.
Yeah, it was really... All the three main matches on the show were all pretty good to really good. But then the finishes to all of them were just kind of underwhelming. So I even thought Rollins Bray was entertaining.
I thought it was actually a really good match.
But then the finish was kind of lame. The finish to the match, what happened after that was okay. But just the actual how the match ended was kind of lame.
Okay, well
we'll
just
get
start
to it there.
From
but
the
I mean,
top.
Like overall,
I thought it was overall. I thought overall it was a decent show with some placement issues. Again, the Intercontinental match should have been the main event. Because that was a pretty good match.
That started the second hour.
Yeah, I know. That should have been the main event because they actually put on a really good match. And I'll be honest, I was okay with the finish, and I'll tell you why in a bit.
Okay.
Let's start off with the beginning. Kurt Angle came down. Again, Kurt Angle's not being utilized the way he should be.
Yeah.
There should be a lot more. He's acting way too serious. He's taking the GM role. Like, there was a comedic bit with him and Maurice and Miz in mm-hmm, the back, and mm-hmm. that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like he's there to sort of...
He's there to kind of push stories along just when they need a little push.
Yeah.
Or just to kind of facilitate matches. But otherwise,
he's a facilitator. He comes out and he sort of reads what's going to happen.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, you know, Foley.
He was involved in actual storylines and involved in the show more than just facilitating matches or storylines. Yes, I know what you mean.
He was an organic, integral part to the overall storyline.
Yes.
And Kurt Angle's just sort of there to say what's going to happen and why it's happening.
But maybe eventually we'll get to that point where
I hope so, because, you know, he's
a more organically involved part of the show.
Kurt Angle, he's amazing. He should mm-hmm. be doing a lot more. Anyways, he came out to announce, essentially...
Now that Braun is injured, having undergone surgery, and according to WWE at least, mm-hmm. out for 6 months.
He said essentially, you know, yeah, he's out for 6 months. Okay, so let's get that out of the way. Is that real?
Based on all the rumors going around, no.
Okay.
The original time frame, 4 to 8 weeks, is still
okay.
When he should be back.
All right. So we're gonna have
I think I read something this morning, and I apologize for not having the source handy.
I know Meltzer did something on his
Yeah,
radio
the plan
show.
Is still for the plan now, I guess, because I think Braun was supposed to face Brock at Great Balls of Fire.
Okay.
That's been pushed to SummerSlam.
Okay.
And then whoever was slated to face Brock at SummerSlam will now be facing him in July.
Oh, okay.
That's what I read.
Okay. All right. Okay, so he announces Braun's out, so he says, that got me to thinking who should take on Brock Lesnar, and they did like these silly graphics where each person that he thought of was facing off with Brock Lesnar.
In profile,
face-to-face. It was kind of cheesy. But he says, Rollins, Joe, Balor, Wyatt, Reigns. Those
yes.
five names.
Yes. Sorry, go ahead.
So at that point, he actually announced that there was going to be a fatal five-way for the number one contendership at Extreme Rules. And then he was interrupted by Roman Reigns.
Well, actually, Angle's music hit.
Oh,
he
yeah,
was starting
yeah,
to
yeah.
walk out of the ring, and then Reigns came out.
And
then Reigns said, why is there a match? This is my yard. I retired The Undertaker. Strowman's injured. I should be number one contender.
He sounded less than convincing when he said it, too. I'll be honest with you. Like, I know it's funny, too, because he kind of held his shoulder, and then Corey Graves, the pro that he is, immediately said, look at how he's holding his shoulder. He's still hurt. And then Roman just put his arms down and he swaggered the ring like he usually does. Like there is like a hint of like, oh god.
But then later on in the evening during his match.
During his match, he did a really good job selling.
Yes.
I'll be honest with that. But when he came down, when he came down at the Raw after Mania, he had that, you know, he seemed to eat up the crowd's,
yes,
you know, anti, you know, their anti-Roman Reigns-ishness.
Yes.
And he said, this is my yard. And it's also, he almost said it laughingly. I want more of that.
Yeah.
Instead, he comes out and he just didn't seem very convincing. He said, this is my yard. I beat Undertaker. Like, he should act like he actually believes what he's saying.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's kind of been an issue on and off.
In
his mic work.
But you're right. It's on and off. I'd like some consistency. I'd like to see like an actual, you know, a slope, if you will. Not like maybe it is.
Yeah.
Anyways, then Finn comes down and he says, look, I never lost my Universal Championship.
In fact, I beat you, Roman. Mm-hmm. To get a shot at that belt
on the very first Raw. He neglected to mention that it was because Roman was being punished.
That's not part of storyline.
oh, I thought it was. Then Samoa Joe comes down and he, in his amazing Samoa Joe way, made his case. Did Bray Wyatt actually come down?
Well, I have it here in the notes. He did.
Oh, I guess so. I guess Bray Wyatt came. Man. That's how far he's fallen off for me. I watched this segment twice, and I forgot that he even showed up. Seth Rollins, I remember him coming down because he name-checked the city. Dude, you know what? Faces don't have to be full face. Like, there's shades of gray, Seth Rollins. You cannot be that guy.
Yeah.
It just doesn't fit for him, dude. It doesn't fit.
He needs, if he's going to be a face.
How you doing, Sacramento, California?
He needs an edge. But I will say this.
He's always smiling in the pictures that they show, too. He's always like.
Here's the thing, though. After the Raw we went to,
after
the segment ended that wasn't aired, I will give, I mean, all the faces in that match did this. They all went around the ring and gave high fives, or in Finn's case, two sweets.
Yeah.
But then after everybody else went backstage, Seth stood out on that ramp and posed and got the crowd hyped up, it felt like, for several minutes afterwards.
Yeah.
He is really intent on getting the crowd involved.
No, look, dude, he's a pro, and I think you're right. I think he realizes that, in the same way that I've always referred to Charlotte as the foundation of the women's division, Seth is the foundation of this of the men's single division. He is
on Raw, yeah.
He can go into great balls of fire, lose to Lesnar, and not miss a beat.
Exactly, and that's why I kind of feel like he should be the one that wins the Fatal 5-Way match.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that point. We'll get to it later. But no, you're right. He is absolutely the institution right now in the WWE. That is Seth Rollins, because he can do whatever and be totally fine, and he's secure in it. It's just, I like Seth Rollins with an edge.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah. So anyways, there's a big brawl where Finn Balor ends up sort of standing tall
because
everybody else is like doing moves on each other.
Well, he's the only one left inside the ring. Everybody else is outside the ring.
Right. How did he? Because it was him and Roman in the end, right? And he ended up dispatching a Roman somehow.
He
went for the coup. He went for the coup de grace and missed it. Roman tried to give him a Superman punch. He ducked it, I think, and then did the sling blade.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say
that sounds right.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the sling blade. It looks like a really easy move. It looks like you're just jumping and the guy's falling. Like,
you know who does it really well?
Who?
Tanahashi.
Oh, I'll have to check that out. I can't remember off the top of my head. Okay.
Because I know what you mean. Sometimes because both Seth and Finn do it, and there doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of power behind it.
Yeah, exactly.
But when Tanahashi does it, it looks like it could hurt.
Yeah. It looks like a reset move. I don't know much about like actual the mechanics of wrestling. Like when we had that interview with our buddy James Willems, like it looks like a reset move. It's like, oh, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to sling blade him real quick. And then we'll figure it out on the ground.
No, I think, in Finn's case, it's a setup to his finisher.
I don't like it,
it's
though.
Two of those, then the drop kick, then the coup de grace.
Right. anyways, then we had a comeback from commercial. We have Rollins, Reigns, and Finn backstage.
Arguing.
All upset with each other about who should be number one contender. Angle comes in, says, we take care of our aggression in the ring.
Yes.
So, Seth Rollins, you're going to take on Bray Wyatt for the first time ever. I assume he
means...
As singles competitors.
Because the Wyatt family and the Shield had matches.
A lot of them, I think. Or at least a few of them.
Well, the one at Elimination Chamber a few years
back. When he said that, I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
One-on-one.
I guess it does.
And then Kurt says to Reigns and Balor, and says, each of you have matches too tonight against each other.
Against each other. Exactly. So then we had Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus to continue this feud.
Yeah, Jeff they Hardy replayed Sheamus kicking the tooth out of Jeff Hardy's mouth from Payback.
It's kind of a sloppy match, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
This was not like a great match. Their styles, like sometimes like disparate styles work. Sometimes they do not. I think it's like when it's like younger dudes and they have like differing styles, but like these guys have been around forever.
You know, but I kind of feel that way with Sheamus sometimes. Like sometimes
maybe it's just Sheamus.
Sometimes he's in a match and sometimes he's good and sometimes the chemistry is just not there with whoever he's wrestling against.
Well, yeah, man, because he legit kicked Jeff Hardy in the face last time and knocked a tooth loose.
Yeah.
Sheamus needs to sharpen his game a little bit, maybe. So anyways, Jeff Hardy ended up going over with a Swanton bomb. There was no shenanigans here, right?
No, nothing really.
Jeff Hardy kind of won clean here. Man.
No, Matt got up on the apron at one point.
Oh, did he? Okay.
And Sheamus tried to throw Jeff into him. Jeff stopped. Matt Hardy ate a kick, went down on the apron, and that led pretty quickly into the finishing sequence. But wasn't really.
Oh yeah, yeah, no. I think I
it was
kinda,
more kind
yeah,
of
no,
a
I
distraction
can't remember.
Versus
like Jeff hit kind of a stunner type thing on.
Yeah,
Sheamus.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
wasn't really interference, but
yeah. Okay, so there are a little bit of shenanigans there.
A little bit.
Next up, man, kind of a shocker here.
Yeah,
Alicia Fox versus Sasha Banks. Now I'm not going to complain about this because I think it's great whenever they throw us something. It's like, oh, Alicia Fox, she got the jobber's entrance. Sasha Banks, she's Sasha Banks. This should be an easy win, or at least a loss with shenanigans.
Yeah, but it wasn't any of those things.
No shenanigans.
No,
Alicia Fox won.
Yeah, and it was actually it was a pretty good match.
Yeah, it was a decent match.
Yeah, it was fun.
I really don't want to say why is Sasha being punished. But kind of begs the question, what happened here?
I don't know. I think they just want to elevate. They want to improve the depth of the Raw women's division. And I think that's probably motivation for having Alicia win.
I hope so. I really hope so. I mean, you know how it goes. People get punished by eating losses.
Sometimes, but also,
I would really love to think that they are taking that tact right now, what you're saying.
Yeah.
I would love to think that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of skeptical.
You know, here's what I also thought, too, that maybe Vince really appreciated Alicia's work.
She's done really good
stuff.
Yeah,
through the whole Noam Dar.
Her and Noam Dar.
Storyline. Yeah. And so, you know, she's getting a bit of a push, you know, because she's been doing good work.
And 205 Live needs kind of all the help it can get. So
yeah, we can talk about that more during the tag match.
Oh, yeah.
The crowd was not into that match.
When you treat an entire division like, you know, like they're not supposed to be, you're not supposed to pop for them, then you're not going to pop for them. Let's see here. Then we have the intercontinental title match.
Yeah.
This should have been the main event. You know what I love about this? Is that everybody stayed in character. Number one, why is The Miz all of a sudden putting on really good matches? Have you noticed this? Like him and Dolph at No Mercy.
I know the triple threat match
the
at
triple
Raw
threat
here
match?
In Sacramento.
This was a really good match.
Here's the thing. I think the key for Dean.
He worked that Cena match perfectly, even though it was essentially a squash match.
Yeah, I know. The key for Dean is having him square off with an opponent that can keep up with his pace.
Because
if Dean's matches are fast paced, they're enjoyable.
Yeah.
But if at any point they slow down, they get to be kind of a bore.
Yeah. Typically, I'm not huge on like a DQ finish like this. I actually loved this DQ finish. I thought this was the way DQ finishes should be because everything was so in keeping with everybody's character.
Oh, yeah.
And the setup for the finish and then the finish itself, I thought were fantastic in terms of like, because, you know, like the title wasn't going to change. And we knew this blow off was going to happen in Extreme Rules. This was perfect. This was a perfect setup for it. I still think it should have been the main event because, like, the match itself, the meat of the match was really, really good.
Yeah.
But you had that great segment where Maurice was trying to distract Dean while Miz went for a low blow, and Dean saw it, and I've never seen anybody counter a low blow like that, number one.
Yeah,
so that was
either.
Cool.
Yeah.
Then he turns around, and Dean was kind of living up to his character. Like, he's not doing lunatic, but he's doing like, hey, you know, if you're going to try to hit me in the balls, I'm going to hit you in the balls back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he did. Consequences be damned. And I thought that wasn't just like, I thought that was good. I thought it was in character. And then the ref, you know, called it a DQ because he did it right in front of him.
Yeah.
It was Dean doing something out of instinct, not thinking, but living up to his own values. I thought that was fine. I thought in that respect, the finish was fine. And it led naturally to the Extreme Rules match. Is that going to be a no DQ match?
No, it's Dean can lose the belt if he's disqualified.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. All right. So, at Extreme Rules, I was totally fine with that match, and I thought
the match was good.
I thought the finish made sense for what they were doing.
Yeah, it was okay.
Well, yeah, I know you have a different opinion. You weren't huge on it. You like clean finishes. We all do.
Ideally.
Yeah. I could say that about the main event.
Yes.
That needed a clean finish.
Yes.
If you gave a clean finish to Roman Reigns over Finn Balor, then Seth Rollins versus Bray Wyatt needed a clean finish, not just Samoa. I mean, Samoa, he's been doing this for weeks. He just comes out of nowhere. And I love Samoa Joe, but it's kind of old now.
It's getting a bit redundant.
So anyways, then we had a Finn Balor backstage segment,
interview with where he concluded with the line, I'm paraphrasing here. He says, it may be Roman's yard, but this is my universe.
This is my universe. Balor Club is my universe. Yeah. So that's good. Finn's good on the stick.
He's very comfortable. He's very comfortable.
I always know that he's always going to be comfortable. Exactly.
Well, he carries himself like he's just very comfortable with
with
who he is.
I know. Good. Anyways. I love Alexa Bliss, man.
Yeah, she's great.
She's fantastic. Anyways, she was giving a really good promo where she was talking crap. She said you guys are the poster children for failure. That was kind of crossing the line there.
She also said that
was overboard.
That Newark was the sweat gland of America.
When she said it with such disgust and disdain on her face, it was good, man. I thought it was really good. She's like one of the best promos today. It was really good. Bailey came out and made me cringe. Made me really want Alexa Bliss to beat her up. Man, Bailey was on a point last night. She hasn't really been that much on point since her call up, but oh god,
I wonder if she was so comfortable with her character in NXT because that was very well defined.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got moved up to main, and they didn't really continue that narrative in any way.
Yeah,
and she's still trying to find like what Bailey is on the main roster.
Okay, but let me ask you this. That begs the question. Do you think that she can...
Because she was really good in NXT.
Do you think she can, you know, flip different switches to change course? Because last night it just sounded like bad promo work.
Oh, I know.
It was like she slipped up on some line. She was like, because I'm going to get that title back from you. Like, it was just... I was like, Alexa, just, you know... And Alexa, I thought she did a good job. She was like, what did you say? This is an extreme pogo sticking.
Yeah.
That was good. So then
They brawl. Alexa goes to the outside,
mm-hmm.
finds a kendo stick under the ring.
I know. It was like sticking out, too. It wasn't actually under the ring. Like the handle was sticking out. I like the thing about these things like in kayfabe, like in the universe. I'm like, okay, she probably just had a stagehand or a ring crew guy just go down and put the thing under there so she can see it.
Yes.
Hey, make sure the handle's out so I can see it in case I need it.
Yes. And so she goes back in the ring, hits Bailey with the kendo stick.
Hey, she gave her a good whack. This wasn't like Orton love tapping Luke Harper.
This is more like
Harper.
Sasha.
Or Rowan, rather.
Yeah, Sasha hitting Charlotte with it.
Yeah, this was pretty stiff.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good. Good job, Alexa Bliss. So then we had Angle and The Miz backstage.
Miz was upset about how he lost the match.
Yeah. So that led to Angle saying,
and I think Angle said, you raise a good point.
Oh my god, I know. He's a heel who has good points. Tell me somebody's not watching the show.
I know.
Anyways.
So Angle makes the match Miz versus Dean at Extreme Rules, but that's not good enough for The Miz.
No.
He wants the stipulation, as we mentioned earlier, that the belt can change hands if Dean is disqualified.
If Dean is disqualified. So if he kicks Miz in the nuts.
If Miz wins via disqualification, Miz wins the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, okay. Well, number one, I've kind of been proven wrong with this one. I like this feud. I'm totally fine. Like, it feels like...
You know what I think?
Feels
it is?
Okay with me. They've been putting on good matches.
It's because of the match last night.
Yeah.
If the match last night had
that
been mediocre,
turned a corner.
If
for
it
me.
Had been mediocre, then we'd been like, oh gosh, we got to see this again.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But those guys, it's obvious. I always look, man. I don't care how long you're in a program with each other. Look at Sasha and Charlotte. If if it looks like you're always trying to like one up it, and even if it doesn't work, if I can see that the effort is there between two guys or two gals who really want to work with each other,
they're trying to up the stakes.
I'll be fine with it.
Yeah, if that's fine.
I agree. It just felt lazy after the mix up. It's like, well, everybody else is paired off, so let's just keep this SmackDown feud going.
I know.
I'm totally okay with it. And then Angle did say, next time you talk to me, you might want to bring the attitude down a little bit. And then Maryse took offense to that and started yelling at Kurt Angle in Francois, in some French. And then Angle great comedic timing.
Yes.
Started firing back in the very, very, very limited French he knew.
Yes.
He says, je suis, won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck.
And then right as that kind of finished up, who walked into frame?
The Drifter.
Yes.
The Drifter. Why are you drifting into my frame, Drifter? And Angle said, can I help you? And Drifter
just kept on strumming his chords.
I know you probably get particularly a good kick out of that, knowing how to play guitar, because it seems like he's doing literally something anybody.
He's playing E minor to C major 7.
Yeah.
That's what he's playing. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Unless his guitar's out of tune, he's really trying to play E minor to C.
Oh, okay. Because it looks like he's just doing the most basic.
Yeah, I know.
Like, okay, what do I put? Okay, here. I love that. Do you think he practices in his spare time?
I kind of hope not.
That's a good point. I kind of hope not.
I think it's funnier if he can just barely play.
Yeah.
If he just knows the basics.
All right, let's see here. I'm going to turn my notes over now.
Next, we had the a cruiserweight tag match. Neville and TJP.
The Neville level.
Taking on Austin Aries and Jack Gallagher.
Yeah.
I feel like we've seen this match a couple times.
I'll be honest with you. I only watched the finish of it. Didn't watch the whole thing.
It was a fun match.
Yeah.
They took the action to the outside. It was all over the place.
I did like the promo later on with Neville and TJP.
Yes.
Because he said, you know, Neville, tomorrow night on 205 Live, you know
we.
We'll finish this Austin Aries problem.
I know.
I can sit there and watch Neville talk for ages when he's like that, when he's villainous Neville.
I know. Mean Neville.
TJP. It's so good. Again, oddly, one of the best. Hey, that's what the count out we forgot we were going to do.
What?
The best talkers today.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good one.
Write it down in the notes. So anyways, the crowd was not into this match.
Countdown.
At all. There was a CM Punk chant. I think they were chanting, this is boring, or something. That's what I read, because Austin Aries responded on Twitter saying, you know, stay classy.
Oh, wait a second. They did that during what? Because I saw that on Twitter. Somebody was like complaining about CM Punk chants, which I didn't notice. But
oh, yeah, it was during this match.
I think I was making tacos last night.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. It sounds good right now, too.
Mm-hmm. I'm very hungry.
I'm sorry. So, was it during Austin Aries on the mic?
No, it was during the match.
But this is the thing. The crowd has been trained not to give a crap. So why should they? Their showcase is literally in the place of like dark matches. Like post-SmackDown dark matches. Post-SmackDown when everybody's like spent... That's when we're supposed to get up and cheer for these people. Because we've talked about this on the 205 Live recap. We haven't really... I think maybe we've talked about it.
We've touched on it, yeah.
But it's like the crowd, they just... They're conditioned not to care because it's on a show that feels like an afterthought, even though the wrestling is fantastic.
I know.
Like, the crowd is part of the... don't they get that the crowd is, in some respects, an integral part...
Oh yeah,
of the match. Look at the logical extension of that is look at the Rock and Mankind's empty arena match or the Stu Hart dungeon match. Like it doesn't have the same effect. It's just they are what they are, but it's just they're just weird,
yeah,
and awkward,
yeah.
And that's what we're kind of given every week on 205 Live. I guarantee you, more people will watch that if you just I don't know. I mean, I get that there's, you know, production things. Man, there's 83 people watching right now. Hey, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
I get that there are, like, production
realities. No, I understand.
Realities.
There's not an aura of excitement about the show.
And that's the whole point.
I know.
Like, Corey Graves literally calls it, what, the most exciting
hour on television.
Yeah, television. And I'm like, no, because you guys aren't letting it be that. It would be that. Could you imagine the buzz it would have if they put it on in front of, like, a fresh live crowd?
I know.
Like, going there to see it.
I know.
And they're just fever pitch because these matches are crazy.
I know.
It would have such a buzz.
I know.
Buzz.
I know. That's one of the things that makes NXT so great is that the crowd is really into the show.
I know.
And if they follow that same formula with 205 Live, it could be fantastic.
Yeah, it really could be. Next up, we had TJP went over.
Oh, yeah. He hit
Jack Allen.
Yeah. After that, we had Bayley backstage getting some medical attention. Kurt Angle comes in and says, you know, you'll have your match at Extreme Rules against Alexa Bliss, but we'll... I can't remember the exact phrasing he used, but he's more or less said, you know, we'll make sure the... How do you put it? Because Bayley got upset and says, no, she's done this to me, and I want a chance to essentially punish Bliss.
Yeah.
And so Angle made it the kendo stick on a pole match.
Kendo stick on a pole match. Now, you know, we just did our Judy Bagwell on a forklift match rundown this past weekend.
Yes.
So they're booking to our crowd, man.
Seems like it.
Seems like it. I'm okay with this, though. I'm totally okay with
it. Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's a kendo stick.
I know, and when's the last time we saw a pole match?
Yeah, exactly.
Something different.
I mean, I'm sorry that we kind of ruined this for you guys because we just did. Like, it feels to our audience that they're just treading new ground, or they're treading old ground,
Yes.
Because we're like, didn't we just, they're like, we just saw a pole match. No, that was like 20 years ago.
I know.
We just talked about it. Then we had Goldust and R-Truth backstage. When you saw the segment, did you know that a heel turn was coming?
Well, I knew a heel turn was coming because I saw it on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Anyways, yeah, Goldust and R-Truth are having a moment backstage where Truth was saying, you know what, man, I let us down. And Goldust said, I've let us down plenty. It's okay. We just got to keep going. Then we had Finn Balor versus Reigns. I like this match. That part where Reigns hit his shoulder.
Oh, on the ring post?
Yeah.
Ouch.
And that should have meant he lost.
Yes, I agree.
It really should have meant that
he lost. Here's the story that I thought should have been told in this match. Is Roman battling as best he could, despite his injuries.
Yeah.
But in the end, the injuries that were inflicted by Braun Strowman onto him end up costing him the match still.
Mm-hmm. Sort of the specter of Braun Strowman still is
exactly.
affecting him. Yeah.
So I agree. When Reigns missed the spear, hit the ring post, that should set up the finish of the match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Balor should have been positioned as soon as Reigns turned around to hit his drop kick in the corner, hit the coup de grace.
Yeah.
That would have been a great finish. And
yeah.
It would have told a story for Reigns. He's still overcoming these injuries, leading up to this huge match, getting an opportunity to be number one contender.
Yeah.
It gives Reigns a protected loss.
Yeah.
Because he's still battling these injuries. And it gives Finn a much needed win.
Yeah.
But instead, they didn't do any of that. They didn't enhance or advance any stories by having Roman Reigns win, other than Roman Reigns can beat someone with one arm.
Yeah.
Because Reigns had a really strong showing.
Yeah, I know.
And he could have lost and still it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have mattered at all. It wouldn't have mattered if Roman had lost that match. Wouldn't have affected them in any way.
I agree with you.
I understand that they want to make, I'm guessing, because who looked the strongest last night? It was Bray and it was Roman of the competitors in the Fatal 5-Way.
Yeah, Bray looked amazing at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the end.
So I imagine they're the two competitors they're going to push as kind of the front runners to win that match. And maybe because, you know, as was rumored, Roman and Bray are going to enter into a feud following that match.
Yeah.
Which is entirely possible.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you still could have had Finn win that match still do that. I don't get it.
It's weird. I mean, on one hand, I'm glad we didn't get like a shady Finn or a dusty finish.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I'm glad about that. Yeah, I don't know, man. This whole Roman Reigns thing, it's hard for me to wrap my head around it. I'm honestly kind of at a loss for words at this point. I'm not overwhelmed. Like, oh, this is crap.
I'm not despondent over it.
I honestly just don't know what to think
about it. They're mortgaging the entire future of the company on this guy, on Reigns.
I'm trying to find the logic in it. Like, I'm trying to find the storyline logic in it.
I know.
And I'm so lost. I'm so lost in it because I kind of get that there's no real, like, besides it's like a politician who gives you a promise and there's obviously blatantly no roadmap to get to that. And it's like, well, it's like we know that Roman Reigns is going to be the guy at the end of all this with the holding tall with the Universal title
next year. Yeah.
I'm curious. This is a complete aside. What's after that? How long is his title reign? How long does he keep that thing?
Three years.
Is that enough to satiate who, like Vince or whoever really wants this to happen?
How long did CM Punk had it? 400 or something days?
Yeah, but Vince didn't want... I don't think... Okay, that's stupid to say. Because if Vince didn't want him to have it, he would have had it.
Yeah.
But from all indications, they weren't really... Like, they never treated the title on CM Punk as if it was the thing to do for the guy. Remember, because it was like Cena versus Rock at the time. That was a bigger deal.
Well, that was towards the end, yeah.
That was towards the end.
Well, the first time. Okay, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean, though.
Yeah, both their two matches were the main events of those two WrestleManias. Not
right. Because it was Punk versus Jericho.
Jericho, yeah.
Yeah. So, man, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the... I just want to fast forward to the end of this Roman Reigns thing. You
They're
going
to have the belt on him for 445 days.
I mean, dude, this is all... It's all common ground, and I'm not... You know, we've been talking about this forever. Everybody's been talking about this, and it's just ridiculous. But it's like, I don't know. I mean, I try to see it from the benefit of, you know, giving it the benefit of the doubt to a degree because I can't do anything else. Like, there's nothing else we can do. We can sit here and whine about it. Oh, Roman Reigns.
That doesn't do anything.
No, it doesn't. I love when I see him. Sorry, man. But we met a couple of fellas at the, I guess it was Raw. And one guy was decked out like he was Roman Reigns from head to toe. And I love seeing that. I like seeing when people are fans of the guy.
Yeah.
But I just, like, from a storyline reason, I'm trying to figure out, like, what does this really do for anybody?
I know.
You know, I thought a much more interesting, because it was a really good match, and I thought like a much more interesting story could have been told.
Yes.
With it. Like maybe even Finn respecting the fact that Reigns is injured and dancing around that a little bit, maybe. Like maybe he's conflicted because he has to fight an injured guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought like a more interesting story could have been told, but nevertheless, it was a good match.
Yeah, it was.
It's just Reigns went over clean, which was weird, but not weird at the same time.
Because it's Reigns.
So... I don't know. There's our Roman Reigns spiel for the week. I don't know, but then that makes me think, okay, well, is Finn going to... Could maybe Finn win this thing?
Like, but I don't want him to. I don't want him to just be fed to Lesnar and get squashed in 5 minutes.
It still makes me think, I wonder, like, would he have been squashed by Lesnar if he had not been injured at SummerSlam?
I don't think
he's going to get squashed by Lesnar.
Well, here's the thing. If
But I've always said that with everybody.
Yeah. If Goldberg had just wrestled the one match at Survivor Series, I don't think Lesnar... would have gotten the Universal title at WrestleMania.
You're probably right about that. Yeah, you're probably right about that. Man, I don't know. Anyways, like, it's making my head hurt, and I really don't want to do that.
You know who probably would have won the Universal title at Mania if not Lesnar? It probably wouldn't Roman Reigns again.
Oh, God. Do you think they would have had Roman go over Finn at Mania this year? Who did he fight? Oh, he fought Undertaker. I beat Undertaker. This is my yard. God, he's so dull.
Anyways. Right after that match, we had a Bray Wyatt promo where he...
Oh, man! Hey, he said he's going to be the Universal Champion.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
I'd like to see Bray Lesnar.
I'd love to see that.
Okay, after we go through the rundown of Raw, let's list in order what five people we want to win that match. Or we can do it now.
Okay.
Who of the five competitors do you want to win that match most?
So who do you want to see? It's like reverse then, because it's like, who do you want to see fed to Lesnar most?
More or less.
Who do you want to see squashed to Lesnar most at Great Balls of Fire?
For me, Seth Rollins. Not that I want to see him get fed to Lesnar, but I think he could go in that match.
A good match.
Lose.
He's already won against Lesnar at some point.
Well, it was a triple threat, him, Cena, and Lesnar at Royal Rumble a couple of years back.
That was a good match.
It was a great match.
That was a really good
match. But then he fought Lesnar when he had the belt, and he was getting destroyed until The Undertaker came out to start his program with Lesnar. Rollins could put on a decent match, I think, And of all the competitors in this match, he could eat a loss and not suffer any damage because of it.
Right.
So he's number one on my list.
One.
Rollins.
Larson's list. Rollins.
Do you agree with that?
Steve's list. One. Rollins.
Okay.
Two.
Bray Wyatt.
Bray, man. We because know he can eat a loss,
oh,
man.
Yeah. They've teased a feud between he and Lesnar. We never saw it because Bray got hurt. So, yeah, that's what I want to see.
Who do I want to see next? Next, I want to see... Well, we know for a fact Reigns isn't going to win it.
No, he's not going
to
win
it
at all.
So I want him to defy the odds and win it.
Although...
Because, you know, it'd be so unexpected. It'd be weird.
In a sense, it would be interesting if he fought Lesnar at Great Balls of Fire, lost handily,
mm-hmm.
and then had to... You know, fit,
confidence of confidence.
Crisis of confidence storyline. Had to come back and eventually, you know, we've been saying for a long time, we want to see
Reigns
face struggles.
Then two for me is Bray. Then three for me is Rollins. Joe, Finn.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your, so you have one Rollins, two Bray, three what?
Reigns.
Reigns.
Four Joe. Five Finn.
Finn. Okay. There we go. There's a count out for you. All right, moving on.
Moving on.
Then we had, okay, so we had Bray Wyatt's promo. It was pretty decent. He actually sounded like he was being kind of specific in that one.
Yes.
Seth Rollins gave an interview. I don't remember this. What did he say?
He just talked to Charlie.
Okay. Golden Truth versus the Club.
Yeah, I think Goldust earlier said they were supposed to face Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah, he had. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, but it didn't even get that far.
They didn't even come out, I think.
No.
Right? Yeah. Goldust instead attacked R-Truth from behind. I don't know if the crowd was shocked or just didn't care. Because there was zero reaction, but it might have been gasps. It might have been like when The Undertaker lost or Bruno lost. I think the crowd was so shocked mm-hmm. at the Golden Truth, mm-hmm. the jobberest jobbing tag team there is. Well, that isn't the Ascension. Goldust attacked R-Truth. This will make for a decent match.
Yeah.
Unlike main event. I love this next segment.
Oh, yeah.
This was great.
Fantastic.
This was fantastic. Enzo and Cass come down, do their stick. Titus O'Neil comes down with Apollo Crews in tow. Did you love? I love a lot of stuff about this. I love the dynamic because it's complex.
It is.
The dynamic.
It so is. Apollo Crews is at the same time in the Titus brand. But so not into it.
He's so annoyed with Titus. Like when Titus tried to touch him on the head, get away from me. But at the same time, he had his back. He knows that Titus is trying to work for him.
I know. It's great.
He just has a really obnoxious guy trying to work
for
him.
I know.
So they come down and Titus is like, my man Apollo Crews is about to destroy Enzo Amore. And Cass corrects Titus. He says, dude, this match isn't those two. It's us two. It's me versus Titus O'Neil. It's Cass versus Titus O'Neil. And Titus is like, I'm not going to fight in a $1,200 suit.
No.
Or
$3,100 suit.
And $1,200 shoes.
Yes.
That didn't matter to Cass. He took out Titus O'Neil pretty quickly. Cass started to do a little dance. And Apollo Crews like gave him a freaking spinning heel kick or something like that.
No, Enzo
drop kick.
Enzo was, I think he picked up the mic to start to do another.
Okay, that's what it was.
And
yeah,
then
okay.
Apollo Crews got in there and kicked him in the head.
I just saw the kick, and Apollo Crews was like, I was like, whoa, look at that. We got a little spark of life. Houston, we are on task. We're going to get to the moon.
Did you watch the WWE.com video of Titus and Apollo Crews?
No, I didn't.
Watch it.
I'll check it out.
It's fantastic.
Oh, I love it.
It's
that's
so good.
What a bright spot.
I know.
Bright spot. Good for them. Good. Finally, Apollo Crews. What did I say? I said something like, didn't I call that as like a way to like enhance Apollo Crews? I didn't say Titus brand though. I should have said Titus brand. All right. Then we had the TJP Neville backstage interaction, which I already talked about. Then we had the main event, which was Seth Rollins versus Bray Wyatt.
Good match. Bray looked great during this match. Seth looked great. Everybody looked great during this
match. Everybody looked really good. It was a really good match.
They were Seth and Bray.
This should have been the top of the second hour, though.
I agree. Seth, what?
Let me ask you. I was going to ask you this. What's a bigger distinction? Fighting for the Intercontinental Championship or fighting for the number one contendership for the Universal title? You'd think the Universal title.
But that's not what this match was.
No. I get that. I'm saying being part of that pack.
Oh, for Dean, you mean?
For the Universal title. What would you rather be doing, fighting for the IC title or fighting for a shot at Lesnar's Universal title? I think it's a shot at the Universal title.
Yeah, right? In theory, that's still supposed to be the top belt on Raw.
In theory, But I, you know, they need to stick with something.
Yeah.
I stick with the IC title being
week to week.
Week to week.
Top
belt, belt that everybody wants.
Yes.
And then the Universal title is this weird esoteric thing that, hey, if I get a shot at it, that's great.
Yeah. That means maybe I too can take some weeks off.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the vacation belt.
Yeah, pretty much.
There you go.
So Seth and Bray, I believe, were fighting on the outside. Joe comes in,
comes out of nowhere.
Beats him up in the ring.
Yeah.
Bray comes in. And he and Joe have a bit of a face-off.
Mm-hmm.
Then they focus their attention on Seth, beat him up some more.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point, Bray gives Joe a Sister Abigail.
Yeah, that was great.
And then he gives one to Seth, too.
Yeah, so he was sort of sitting tall because he was in a sit-down position.
Yes.
Doing his Bray Wyatt thing. So that's good, man. What are you going to do? You got to take the victories that you can take.
Yep.
We love Bray Wyatt. We want him to be the monster that he really is. And he starts talking about being the Universal Champion. That's great.
Yes. Yeah.
He should refer when he talks about this might be Kurt Angle's show and Roman Reigns' yard, but this is my world. He should say my universe because that will tie him into wanting the Universal Champion.
That's why Finn said it.
But I think it'd be better if Bray said it.
But Finn was the first Universal Champion. That's why it made sense.
But he's not the current Universal Champion?
Neither is Bray.
Yeah, but Bray can say it because he's abstract. He's like a deity. He's said he's a god. And God doesn't just
said that.
But let me ask you something.
But I don't think God control, would lose to one RKO.
Does God control? Well, it's the RKO. Does God control? And the guy who had there, he lost to a fridge. Does God control planets or the entire universe, Larson? It is the universe.
Okay.
It's just true, right?
Yeah.
God created the heavens. That's the universe.
Yeah. I'm well aware of that, Steve.
All right.
Let's answer some questions.
Making sure you know your theology, Larson.
I do. Connor, Triple H finds it funny, Dunmore. Hey, friendo. So my question is, after Braun's injury, do you see him being on your 10 wrestlers whose pushes were stopped due to injury list in 6 months' time? What number do you think he will end up on that list? Well, as I think we talked about earlier, the 6 months number is just something put out there by WWE.
Well, it's two things. The jury's still really, really far out on this one because you have to look in the grand scheme of like historical context. So, for example, Stone Cold Steve Austin wasn't on that list because he had an injury that kept him out, but then his push immediately
began. It kept him out of action, but he was, apart from maybe being off TV for a couple weeks, he was on TV regularly still.
This is a big push for Braun, but it's not the big push because you know he wasn't going to win that Universal Championship.
No.
Now, fast forward a couple of years, if he was on the verge of being the heir apparent to the Universal Champion, which I think is probably going to be the case eventually, and an injury derailed that, then I would say yes.
Yes.
Let's see here. Number one jobber, Alex Ponce. Is Kurt Angle's reaction to the Drifter the greatest thing?
It's pretty good.
You know, I kind of prefer when the Drifter would like literally just show up in the background.
Yeah,
that's what I kind of want. I don't want him really interrupting people. I want him showing me in the background.
I want both. I want a variety.
Mm-hmm.
Empire of Cleanliness, Andrew Mullen. With the pole match seemingly back, what other match types do you want to see return?
Shark cage match. Two guys are just fighting in a little tiny shark cage. The pool match, the death match with the pool, the sickle?
Doomsday cage.
Yeah, which one was that?
The three cages on top of each other.
Oh, yeah.
What
ready to rumble
cage. War games. There you go.
So anything involving the number three is what you're saying. That truck bed match?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Justin England, he says, I don't get the booking decision for Reigns versus Balor on Raw. I'm no Roman fan, but Balor can stand to eat a loss to him if need be. The problem I have is they made a point to drive home that an injured Reigns was beating a healthier and smaller Balor. What were they trying to accomplish by Balor looking weak? Look, you saw earlier, Justin, my head was trying to wrap itself around that idea. Don't know. Have no idea.
It's all in an effort to make Reigns look strong.
Yeah. Adam Mayhem. Kendo stick on a pole match. Vince Russo, new booker confirmed. No, he books for Rocky Mountain. Some business. Rocky Mountain something or another.
Something like that. Low-level writer Carlos Hackworth. What's up, friendos?
Hello, Carlos.
Oftentimes, we will see signatures or finishers passed down to younger superstars, so whichever one, Hall of Famer or legend, would you like to see pass down their signature move, and to which superstar should they pass it on to?
Man, they need to bring back the pile driver. Didn't Lawler's finish was a pile driver, or at least it was for Andy Kaufman. So Lawler is going to pass down his pile driver to what superstar? Somebody with, oh, Tyler Bate.
Okay.
Because according to Lance Storm, you need giant, thick legs.
Yes.
That dude who's got the thickest legs I've ever seen in my life. Or one of them hosses. Legs. Like, I'd love to take a pile driver from Big Damo. I bet it's like being pile driven by a couple of big pillows.
Mm-hmm.
Big, hairy, sweaty pillows.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be lovely.
Yes.
Yeah. We're on the Patreon here at the $1 mark. You can also put your questions on here, and we try to get the most popular ones by the upvotes.
We do.
Yeah. Drew Ronaldo, he also is curious about the pole match, the kendo stick on a pole match. Are you excited about this match? Do you think it was a good decision to give this match this stipulation? Okay, so there's the question. Kendo stick on a pole.
Yeah.
Good idea, or would you rather seen something different?
I appreciate the fact that they're bringing back a gimmick match we haven't seen in a while.
Okay.
We haven't seen a pole match in a while.
True.
So I appreciate it on that level.
Okay. Here's my thing. I will appreciate it if they actually do a good job selling the kendo shots.
Yes.
Because that's a tricky thing.
Yes. JT, hey, friendos, a Dream Bullet Club match. His Dream Bullet Club match will be a Survivor Series match. If you can take five current Bullet Club members and five ex-members in a Survivor Series match, who would eliminate who and who would you have win at the end?
I like this. I'm going to change this to a better one. Five current, five former, and pair them up in singles matches. Who would you want to see? Obviously, you'd want to see Kenny versus AJ.
Yes.
Okay. I'd want to see Bad Luck Fale versus Jeff Jarrett.
Okay.
I'd like to see...
Well, is Jeff Jarrett officially a former member of Bullet Club, or is he still a current member?
Well, he's not... When's the last time you saw him in Bullet Club?
I understand that. I'm just asking.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. Is AJ... Well, he was kicked out.
Yes.
But then they did do that curtain call thing where they were all friendly again.
That's not storyline.
I'm just going to say, look, if they're not in right now, if they haven't shown up in the last 3 months, they're former.
Okay.
I want to see...
Finn Balor versus Marty Scurll.
Ooh, good. I wonder if they fought before. I'd want to see the Young Bucks. God, has there been a tag team that isn't Bullet Club anymore? Oh, the Club. The Young Bucks versus the Club. Young Bucks versus the Club. You want to see that?
Sure.
Do you want to see that? I don't really want to see that.
Okay.
I don't really care.
What about that. Gorillas of Destiny versus the Club?
Oh, I'd like to see that. That's actually, I'd like to see that.
Yes. Good job.
And then finally, I'd like to see...
But who else has been kicked out of the Club or the Bullet Club?
I'd like to see. I know there's been some obscure members. Hold on, I'm gonna look up Bullet Club really quick. Bullet Club, because we have to get this last one perfectly.
Yes.
Bullet Club former members. Oh man, wait, no, hold on a second. Members, see below. It's so large. Oh, current. Okay, former. Here we go. Oh, here we go. Cody Rhodes, current member, versus Cody Hall, former member.
There you go. We forgot Adam Cole. He's a former member.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Ooh, what do you want to see Adam Cole versus? Adam Cole versus...
The Young Bucks.
The Young Bucks. Yeah, that's good. I like that. How about... But you know who Bone Soldier is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Captain New Japan versus Captain Fun Wrestling. All right, moving on. Next question.
Next.
Here we go. The King of Madness, Kronas. Okay. Good question. First time patron. His question is, with Braun going to be out of action for 6 months or, you know, if rumors are to be believed, what, 4 to 6 weeks?
Yes, four to 8 weeks.
4 to 8 weeks. Regardless, how would you book his return? If it's okay, here's the thing. If they're staying six, let me ask you this. Do you think the 6 month thing is specifically to bring him back in a specific manner? Are they saying 6 months so that from now he can come back looking injured or something along those lines? Okay, oh my God, he's a monster.
I just had a thought. I don't think they're going to do that because they had a picture of him post-op on WWE.com.
He looked very comfortable.
He did.
Yeah.
I just had this thought.
Okay.
Say Roman wins the match. At Extreme Rules, he goes on to face Lesnar at Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah.
Who comes out to get involved at the end? Braun.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, that could happen regardless who, I guess, in a sense, wins the match Extreme Rules. But yeah, it would make the most sense if it's Reigns, because Braun and Reigns, you know, most recent history, plus Braun going after that Universal title.
I would love for them to take like a comedic angle, and like he comes out like in a full body cast.
I'm not done with you yet.
And then he starts throwing up everywhere. let's see here. Mr. Funny Bones asks, with the announcement of a Fatal 5-Way at Extreme Rules, out of the five wrestlers, who do you think would make for the best? Who do you think would make the best feud for Brock Lesnar?
Like Bray.
Bray
make for the best feud.
Yeah. Do you think Lesnar would be cool with that, though? Here, that's the problem. If Lesnar doesn't think you're a big money guy, he's going to sleepwalk his way through the feud.
Well, of those five, who do you think Lesnar would think?
I honestly think Lesnar probably thinks that Reigns is the biggest money feud. I
mean, which is why that they're saving that feud till WrestleMania, at least in full.
I think he'd probably be okay with Rollins.
I would think so, too.
They have a history. I think he'd be okay with that. I think Lesnar would be totally fine with Joe.
Oh, yeah.
I think he'd be totally fine with Joe.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Finn, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I'm not sure.
The Phenomenal Cleaner, a.k.a. the King of Demons. Hey, friendos, first-time patron, thank you very much. Has Alexa Bliss stole the thunder away from Sasha and Bayley?
I think yes, but I think only, like, I don't think there's anything. I think it's because she's so damn good.
Yes.
Yes, I absolutely think that, and I think it's fantastic because I think whoever is the most talented in that regard, like not, oh, who's getting pushed the hardest, not like
yeah.
Roman.
Yeah.
This is like, she is that good.
Yeah.
That, yes, she has. Ernesto Rivas, he's going to be attending Backlash this Sunday with his son. And together, that will be their first WWE live event. His question is, when is a good time to show up to get autographs and see superstars? I have no clue. I have no, my pen fell. I have no idea.
Yeah, you know, you see, like people post pictures on Twitter of them meeting wrestlers as they get to the arena.
Yeah, they like,
I don't know what time of day that is.
Linger
though.
back around the back of the arena.
You have to know where. I think, you know, what's like commonly referred to as the players' entrance is to the arena, where, you know, if it's a basketball arena, where the players could, you know, park their cars and get into the arena. And I would assume that is the same entrance wrestlers would use to get in. On Total Divas too, they'll show wrestlers as they arrive to the arena, going up to fans that might be waiting somewhere and signing autographs.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer this particular question, I have no idea. I don't know what's the best time of day. I would assume if the doors open at 3,
yeah,
try around noon.
Yeah, I would think that too.
Walk around the arena, see if there's people.
I would just do some Google research, because I'm sure people out there have said before what their like the call time is, like what time they have to be at the arena.
Yeah. I have a question. Looking for one? I have one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Chalupa Batman, in honor of the kendo stick on a pole match, if you had to book a match between Coldwater Larson and Steve with the on-the-pole stipulation, what would be on the pole?
What could we both use against each other as a weapon?
What? The H title.
Oh, it'd be like a ladder match then.
But it'd be on a pole.
Yeah, oh. How would we get to it? How do they get to it?
You have to climb up the ropes and retrieve the item off the pole.
The pole's going to be on the corner.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I believe sometimes the pole is tall enough that you actually have to scale the pole to get to whatever is on it.
So I would just bolt, like we'd both just run towards the pole.
It'd be clumsy.
Immediately.
Very clumsy.
Right. That'd be fun. They 2K people... Put pole matches in.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And allow people to customize what is on the pole.
Yes.
Between like a belt, a weapon, a contract,
mm-hmm.
a couple other things.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool.
A condom. That was the most cartoonish head slap. Gene the Grappler. Golden Truth is no more. I rarely cared about R-Truth, but I love Goldust. So how can a heel Goldust work in the PG era WWE? Or is this feud going to end up on Main Event or Superstars? I jokingly said Main Event. I'm sure it'll have a blow off it. How far away is Extreme Rules?
June 4th.
They might have a match in the pre-show at Extreme Rules.
Yeah. Tommy T.
I hope not. I hope they feature it at Extreme Rules.
Yeah. Hey, Steve and Commissioner Larson. So I've heard Dave Meltzer and the fellows at What Culture say that the IWC controls most of the chants in WWE. And while a minority, it is one of, if not the most vocal group in the audience, starting everything from CM Punk chants to This Is Awesome chants. My question is, should WWE cater to this part of the crowd because it is so vocal, or should they stay the course of trying to please the casual fan? I mean, if it's just all about responding to people in the arena as things are happening, no, they should do the show as written.
Mm-hmm.
In a more, you know, a grander, larger sense. I mean, they're going to cater to whatever demographic they think is going to spend more money on the product.
Yeah.
And if they think that's the casual fan, then that's who they'll predominantly cater to. If they think it's the more hardcore fan, that's who they'll cater to.
Yes. No, I agree with that. Wait, what do they say?
No, it's saying that Meltzer and the What Culture guys say that the most of the chants, like the CM Punk chants, are started by just a small portion of the audience. It's not like 17,000 people at the same time start chanting CM Punk.
Oh, yeah. It would be vastly different. That's why you see the Raw After Mania is so crazy, because it is largely just a smart audience, whatever you call it. A couple more questions, then we'll do Kayfabe Corner.
Yes, I'm not feeling good about my chances today.
I feel okay about my list. You'll probably do good. Let's see here. Here's one. Oh, okay. You already answered that one. Double T asks, my question is a weird one, but I have to ask, because all the time I hear everyone in the IWC say Vince McMahon is out of touch because he doesn't push people we think are real good, like Kevin Owens, but that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, he's
that
getting pushed
all the time. He says, but it is us. But is it us? Are we the ones that are out of touch because we constantly want him to put the titles on people we like instead of people like Randy Orton, who's a far bigger draw and merchandise seller than any of the three wrestlers I brought up before? Are we out of touch, Larson? Are we out of touch?
No, I just think they're kind of going back to the conversation we had yesterday about different styles of wrestling.
Yeah.
Different wrestling fans appreciate different wrestlers for different reasons, whether it be their ring work, their personality, their in-ring work, some, you know, combination of all three. And so those of us that have the appreciation of people like Kevin Owens, like Sami Zayn, we're going to want to see the wrestlers we're fans of, you know, achieve the greatest success possible.
Mm-hmm.
People who like Randy Orton probably feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it all comes down to who does Vince think will make the company the most money.
Yeah.
As champion. That's really what it comes down to. If he thinks it's Randy Orton, that's who's going to have the belt. If he thinks it's Brock Lesnar, that's who's going to have the belt.
Yeah.
If he thinks that's Roman Reigns in a year, that's who's going to have the belt for a year and a half long reign, probably.
I'm curious as to how much of it is actually focus group these days. Or I don't want to say focus grouped, because I don't think it's focus grouped.
Well, I wonder if they have a series or several metrics.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
you,
what I'm
you
saying.
Have house show attendance. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, based on who's headlining, you have merchandise sales. You probably have, what do they call, Q ratings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those likability ratings. So that's focus grouping, essentially.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of other metrics they use to determine who they think. I'm sure one of them is just what Vince thinks.
Yeah.
And use that, tie that into storylines if they're projected all over any span of time to make a determination who they want to be their champion. So we hear about that, you know, that story from, who was the writer?
Kevin Eck?
Yeah, talking about having a meeting, I think that's who it was, about who would be the heir apparent to Cena as the face of the company. And that was during the time when Punk had the belt for, you know, more than a year. And Triple
then
H.
Then it seemed like a very subjective thing. Saying, well, Triple H didn't feel that CM Punk was the kind of guy who would do the media appearances, all
that's
kind of stuff.
Thing.
Which is kind of a subjective thing. It's like, well, you know, Triple H would say something. Let's say, for example, that actually happened. And Triple H did actually say that. Well, do we know that he's actually basing it on? I mean, that's just basing it off of a gut feeling. That isn't actually.
But they could have all that information in front of them.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they came
or
upon
maybe
Sheamus.
Maybe it's very old school. And maybe they are just sitting there around using their guts.
Could be.
No. And Vince.
But, you know, I would suspect back in the, you know, 70s or 60s or 80s or something like that, they may not have had, you know, the analytic data that may be available now. But I'm sure they knew who was putting butts in seats.
Well, yeah. Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And I'm sure they understood, well, this guy over here is selling a ton of merch. People seem to really be taking to him. That's a no-brainer.
I know.
Then you push that guy.
Exactly.
So, I don't know, man. I don't know if anybody's necessarily, I mean, I don't know. I mean, one tweet that Meltzer sent out in response to somebody was, as long as business is good, they kind of find the reaction to Roman Reigns amusing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not. I have no idea.
Well, they
but it wouldn't surprise me because it's like, well, you guys, it's like I'm sitting here, we're doing really good business. And yet, you know, how am I supposed to react to this? What am I supposed to start, like, de-pushing a guy and then see is my money go down?
Here's another reason they might have had Reigns win the other night. Finn is a pretty popular face.
Mm-hmm.
Having Reigns win gets more heat on Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
Heel heat.
Mm-hmm.
You could say X-Pac heat.
Mm-hmm.
Similar. Not to the extent, but similar to the heat he got for beating The Undertaker.
Yeah, sure.
So maybe they're going to have Reigns go out and beat everybody's favorite wrestlers.
Yeah.
To try to get more heat on him.
It's kind of what's been happening. So, I know. Yeah, you know, it's like, oh, we'll just keep on doing this. Who knows? I mean, the people that, it's weird. It's so polarizing. People who like Reigns. People who don't like him really don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
So evidently there are enough people out there to justify doing it.
Yes.
Oh, this one last question for
okay.
KFib Corner from Hamza Halal. What episode or moment in WCW history made you switch the channel to Raw? For me, I think it was more of a gradual thing. However, I do distinctly remember Mankind winning, me being very excited about that, and then seeing how WCW framed that with the asses, butts, and seats or whatever it was, and me being very turned off by that.
I used to watch WCW pretty much exclusively until I heard about what happened with the Montreal Screwjob.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then I was like, wow, that's messed up. That's mm-hmm. weird. Why would they do that? And then so I started watching WWF more regularly.
Right.
Just to see what was going on.
Right.
And then, you know, for a couple of years, we'd watch both. I don't know if there was actually a distinct moment where I was like, okay, WCW's garbage.
For me, it was more WWF, which is really good.
Yeah, WWF just had a better product.
Yeah, but there are times when I would switch over. I remember, like, I would be intrigued when they would change direction, like when they brought Russo in. It was like, okay, well, this is interesting. Let's see what he does. When they brought Bischoff in with Russo, let's see what they're going to do. So, it was always just out of curiosity, like, and deep down, I kind of knew, well, let's see what the train wreck is up to today.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of more the thing. It was, this is a train wreck. Let's see what's going on.
But then you only have so much tolerance for watching a weekly train wreck.
Yeah, because
when
WWF was really good.
A vastly better product available to you, yeah.
All right, Lars, are you ready?
Sure. What is Kayfabe Corner?
Are you ready? Are you ready to wrestle the champ?
Yeah, so Kayfabe Corner, 12 names, some real, some not real. Two trivia questions.
Correct. So this week I put at the $10 Patreon mark, you guys can vote on so we put up two options. You guys get to vote on which one makes it through. This week I simply put up a picture of the Golden Truth. So it was R-Truth versus Goldust.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like, it was Goldust won. It wasn't like a huge lopsided victory or anything. Goldust is
okay.
Our topic of conversation.
Okay.
Here we go, number one.
One.
Henry Haas.
That seems like it should be fake, but since it seems like it should be fake, I'm going to say real.
Okay. Real. Correct. Yes. Tex Runnels.
Fake.
Very good. Bill Cook.
Real.
Fake. He actually, his first match was against a dude named Bob Cook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Rocket Monroe.
Real.
Very good. Lee Haas.
Fake.
Okay. Should have put that one first. Silky Bang Bang.
Real.
Fake. Silky Boom Boom, though.
Oh, okay.
Exotic Adrian Street.
Real.
Very good. Coach John Heath.
Fake.
Real.
Mm.
The Mighty Angus.
Real.
Very good. Jalen Sugar.
Fake.
Yeah. Jay Armstrong.
What number is this?
Next to last.
Fake.
Good. I'll just give you this one. Silky Boom Boom.
Real.
I don't know why I did that. I didn't. Okay.
Nine.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, God. Question number one.
One.
In April of 2000, Goldust was suspended from WCW for like a while. For doing what? What did he get suspended
for? Ooh. Didn't he break kayfabe on air?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I'm going to say no. But you're kind of, I know what you mean. and he didn't get suspended for that.
Okay.
That was when he was the seven character.
Yeah.
So he didn't get suspended for that. He went on WCW Live internet radio show, and he called Vince Russo an asshole. So, in a respect, he kind of broke kayfabe live.
Yeah.
But I know what you were talking about, and that wasn't it. Number two.
Two.
Goldust teamed with Kendall Windham in WCW.
Yeah.
What was the tag team called?
I'm going to say it was called Legacy.
Oh, no. Texas Broncos.
Oh, okay. I got nine.
Very good. So you're up by four, but I have next week to come back.
Yes. Okay.
Hopefully I'll get another 10 next week.
10.
And I'll be at my six. You did well this week. Good job. Usually when you don't feel good, you do good.
Yeah, I know. So I just didn't feel like I was in the right mind frame to do well this week.
Well,
but
luckily, I gave you a terrible list. So good job me for you. Anyways, I want to say thanks to everybody out there for tuning in. We're going to do a bonus episode for the patrons, so be sure to keep watching for that.
Stay tuned in.
Stay tuned in. Thank you. Exactly. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.